Yo, salut tout le monde, on est là avec le plus gros des chats, notre bon ami, Jesse Arnett. What's up, my man?
Feeling good, brother. I hope you're well. Always great talking to you. It must mean that I have a fight coming up, and it looks like this one's going to happen. So I'm super excited. 2 weeks out, and very cliche, but probably the best version of the Big Cat to date, and I'm excited to get in there and show my skills.
Yeah, man, like you said, last time we spoke, unfortunately, everything got canceled. You were, like, lined up for two or three fights. Nothing worked out for you. Last year was horrible. Let's just say it. 2019, one of the trashiest year ever. Fuck 2019. Now we're in 2020. And, man, you're gonna have a shot at the Fight League Atlantic, which I'm speaking with these people on Instagram. I even got exchanging text messages with another one, Derek. And fuck, man, everybody's so cool. Everybody's like so chill. They want to do the things the right way. And the card's looking good. You're on that event. Just how excited are you that you're starting a new league and it looks good now, I feel?
Yes, I'm excited. And to be on their inaugural event, it's their first show. And to have the Big Cat out there, it's big press. It's a big deal for them. And the kid I'm fighting, Adam Burke McDougal, he's a surging bantamweight from the East Coast, all finishes. He's there to fight. I don't think he's ever been in there with anyone my caliber, my level. So February 8th, let's see what he's got. Let's see if he's ready.
For sure, it's going to be the co-main event of the evening. And I just want to talk about, like you've been saying, you say you're the best version of yourself. And I'm looking at your stories every day. And man, you look like you've been training hard, having lots of sparring partners, having lots of like good times in the gym. So just talk about it, man. How improved are you, do you think, according to you, if we like compare to your last fight?
At the end of the day, I didn't lose to no slouches, but I could, either one of those fights, I'm in there with those guys. And I've been putting mixed martial arts, I've been putting the MMA together better than I ever have. I'm using my strikes to set up my takedowns better than I ever have. My grappling is just on another level. I've tweaked a few things with my guillotine, darts, setups, and anyone I've never rolled with before, I can often catch them in the scrambles. So Adam, watch your neck, because the Big Cat's coming for it. And yeah, I'm just excited to get in there and be patient and win each exchange and just have fun. And it's been a long journey. I haven't been in the cage since last May. I haven't had a win in just under 2 years. I should have 20 wins by now. I should have 3-4 wins per year. That's in the past. Right now, I'm 100% focused on February 8th, Truro, Nova Scotia, Fight League Atlantic 1, the co-main event, and finishing Adam Burke McDougal in his hometown.
Of course, man. And like you've been really improving your striking, but like many people feel that you've been wanting to like maybe push the striking game too much in your last fight. And that maybe has been what caused you, because everybody knows when the Big Cat's like on somebody's legs and he's taking them down and he's working his grappling game. There's not many people like at 135, I'd say, that can really hang with you on your ground. You've got a real aggressive submission game. So to feel like you've been able to round all of this out and to be able to work your strikes into your grappling and work all of the aspects of MMA together, man, that's such a like a thing that people want to achieve in this sport. And like to feel like you've been working on that, I'm really anxious to see what's going to come out of this fight, because you've got a really game opponent in front of you, Adam Burke McDougal. He's good. We've seen some fight. I think the only fight I've seen of him ended in like a weird ass no contest, but I know he's got a good record. I've been following his come up, but like you've been saying, I don't know if he ever fought somebody of your experience, somebody of your craft. And I feel like, man, this is going to be a good fight. I can't wait. Like, to be honest, I'll be really anxious to look at this card. February 8th, man, it's a huge night. There's the John Jones fight. There's like the huge fucking card in Vancouver with two Quebecers fighting for titles, and there's the Fight League,
wow.
And there's the Fight League Atlantic card that, man, I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna find a way to have like three iPads and stuff, and I'm gonna watch all of that shit at the same time. But I'm really, really anxious to see you fight, man, because it's been a while, and I know how you like to be active, and that's how, like, when we look at your career, that's when you've been the best. When you've been active, you've been fighting like every 2-3 months and like keeping busy all the time. And I just can't wait to see that happen again, to see if the big cat is going to start racking up some wins again.
100% I am. And just to follow up early in your question, yeah, I will be looking to get it to the floor. But at the end of the day, I've only been caught in a couple exchanges with some solid guys when I was coming forward. I'm generally a better striker than anyone I get in there with, but if I stand and strike with this guy the whole time, then it's a 50-50 shot with those small gloves. I know he didn't wrestle on the national team. I know his striking won't be as good if I can smother him, get a hold of him, get him to the clinch, get him to the floor early even, and take that muscle away from him, take that explosiveness away from him. I believe he looks really strong. I believe he's a super athlete, and I think he believes in himself too, which might be one of his better qualities. But like we mentioned too, has he been in there with Johnny Bedford? Has he been in there with guys like Vince Murdoch, Mike Hernandez? The list goes on. I don't even know if he's been in there with a guy like Dimitri Wardenberg yet. He got a nice win over Eric Wilson, who is probably his best win. Eric's record isn't so good, but Eric Wilson's a tough fighter. He fights a lot of people, and he often only loses decision. And this kid went out there and did a jump kick, kicked him in the face, and knocked him out in under a minute. So that intrigues me. One thing I've improved on a lot over the last 3 months is I'm blocking kicks, and I'm getting in and out of the pocket a lot better than I ever have. And if they miss a kick or they're out of position, then I'm able to get an angle on them and wrestle them while they're out of position. I've improved tenfold again everywhere. I'm so lucky. I can't believe at my age that I'm still in the gym and I'm still cruising and I'm still improving. I'd say daily. I'm so thankful for mixed martial arts and sports, and it really saved my life. And I'm so excited for this next chapter. I'm excited for my next 10 fights. Implementing my game plan and just having fun. And at the end of the day, it's the journey too, man. Like, I did a lot of good work over these last 6 months. Even though I missed those fights, that's still banked rounds. That's technique in the bank. That's work in the bank that I can carry on my back into this fight. Like, I've been ready to go for 6 months, so I'm excited to finally get some entrance music and not fight my friends. I'm super excited for February 8th, and it's gonna be a good fight. I'm super stoked.
Yes, and man, your fucking striking coach Jake, he's been getting crazy ass knockouts, huh?
Yeah, he's legit, bro. Like, I sparred him last night, and fucking guy always manages to kick me in the head somehow, and he's just like, he's really good, man. He's a phenomenal athlete. His dad played professional soccer for Chelsea in England, like, and his grandfather played professional soccer. Jake had no choice but to be a world-class athlete. He really didn't. And, yeah, he's one of the hardest sparring partners. He's one of the best men I know, and his gym's successful. His career's successful, and Dunamis, man, what a good guy.
Yeah, he's awesome too, man. I really love hanging out with everybody. And man, I gotta tell you, you're the guy that introduced me to TJ Wellen, who's a fucking mad scientist. And like, this Saturday, I'm doing a jiu-jitsu super fight at an amateur MMA event. And fuck, man, I took the fight because I was super fat, man. I was getting like super fucking fat. I ate bunch of shit for a whole damn year couldn't get my weight together like whatsoever. I used to be able to say, okay, I got that shit on that date, gotta motivate, lose some weight, be on weight for, and it just didn't work out last year, didn't know why. So got offered that fight at 185, fucking took it. I was maybe 208, January 4th. And I just fucking texted TJ like, oh, I'm super fucking fat, what can I do? And he just started dropping some knowledge on me like crazy, man. And
mad knowledge.
Oh, yeah. And he told me, oh, okay, eat that shit, don't eat that shit, do this, don't do this. And like, he didn't like follow me through like he does with you. I've seen him like in action. That's pretty crazy. But he gave me some really fucking useful tips that I'm basically gonna remember for all my life. And man, right now I am 185.6 before bed, after lunch. And I'm just wake up tomorrow morning, FaceTime my weight. I'll probably be underweight. Made it like so easy, man. Just so fucking easy. Just water loading. Didn't have to dehydrate. Didn't have to lose a pound in the sauna. And that's because of TJ, and you presented it to me. So fucking thank you for that, because this guy's, he's so great, man.
Congratulations to you, bro. That's half the battle. And like, man, that's awesome that you're always competing in these grappling events, plus covering the sport. It really gives you an understanding of what we go through and how we feel about nerves and dealing with the nerves and then competing. And man, jiu-jitsu is a fight. Wrestling's a fight. MMA's a fight. Everything's a fight with yourself, man. Your weight control, not eating all night. Like, dude, I can be 170, 80 pounds if I just let go, you know what I mean? So it happens to everybody.
Yeah, and food is my biggest problem. Like, I've been saying to many people, like many people got like some drug problems. I really got a food problem. That's my worst problem in life. And I'm an all or nothing guy. So when I'm all in, like right now, man, I'm eating good, exactly what I need, my portions and shit, and I'm doing like everything right. But when I'm off, I'm super off, and I can eat like some burgers and then go eat some more burgers and then eat some fucking chips and some gummies and some, like, I can.
The burgers aren't even bad. It's the French fries. That's what kills everybody. It's the oil. Like a good burger, it's not horrible.
I'm heading to Five Guys right after, so I'm gonna have some French fries too. But I think they're like, they're in peanut oil. So I think it's better than some fucking oil that they use in basic restaurants. And but I'm heading to Krispy Kreme too after, so it's not gonna, that night's not gonna be good for my health. But fuck, I just need it, man. I've been like just, I wouldn't say starving because I'm eating good, but I like to eat my junk, man. I really like to eat some junk food, and now I've been not eating some junk food for too long, so. I need some, but I'm a really, I did so much good work. I'm a really try to keep my weight down like after that one, because at 185, I'm basically on weight for every like tournament I want to do or super fights or stuff like that. So fuck, man, I need to keep my weight down. But TJ has been like real good help, man. That's crazy, man. I can tell you.
Yeah,
he tells you two or three things, you do it, you drop weight like you never dropped weight before.
For sure, man. For sure.
And
how's Adam? How's Adam doing?
Adam's doing good, man. He at his first pro boxing fight, KO'd the dude in like 50 seconds with an uppercut, and then like he was scheduled to fight, but like things fell out with the promotion and shit, like because of commission stuff. So he just signed, but he didn't sign, but he's fighting this Saturday. Short notice for Eye of the Tiger management, who have like, I'd say most of the pro boxers in Quebec. There's like two big promotions.
Yeah, they're a good brand.
But yeah, Eye of the Tiger is really good. They've done shows like all over, and like they're, if he does good in that fight, they're really willing to like continue to work with him and like push him forward. I think he really likes boxing. He always told me like, when he was fighting MMA, oh, I don't like the ground game. I like boxing. I'd like to try myself in the ring. And I think he likes it. And man, if he's happy with that, I
think he can do good, because there's not a lot of great heavyweights.
Exactly. Exactly. And man, like, and then I want to throw shade or stuff, but like, we've got Simon Keane in Quebec. And fuck, man, the guy, he's an okay boxer, but on TV, he does not look good. Like he's having trouble to express himself and stuff. So it's like Adam's way. Like if he can get some wins, they're gonna fucking push him. They're gonna send him on TV, just do some interviews. And Adam looks really good in interviews. Like he knows how to speak. He's good, man. He can be elaborate in his responses and stuff. So he's gonna look really good. And I think everything they're gonna make him do, he's probably gonna look good at it. So that there's big potential for him. Like real big potential.
Did you lose your connection? Are we good?
Yeah, we good. I see you now. Okay. I just
cool.
lost you.
Yeah, I'm excited for Adam.
Yeah, I got my Adam hoodie now. Look.
Sweet. Did you see if FLA are they doing a stream?
They told me they were gonna send me a stream because I can't make it because I need to be covering like three things at the same time, and Yeah, probably, man, and I'm gonna share it for sure too when I
awesome.
Get it. Cause
when you do share it, tag me in.
Yeah, for sure. And awesome. I want to know, man. Like I know you always got like hella stuff lined up. So what's next?
March 13th and then May 8th.
Damn, three fights lined
March
up.
March 13th, just quick turnaround, man. But I need it. It is what it is. Like. I'm scheduled to fight in Grand Prairie March 13th for XFFC, but looking not past Adam Burke McDougal, he's a game opponent, and I have to do my job. We have a game plan. We have a job, and February 8th, I'm going to get my hand raised. I'm going to be back in the winning circle and get my 16th win with my 14th finish.
That's going to be a good one, man. I can't wait. I'm going to let you go because I'm super fucking tired and I need to get some sleep and do my stuff, make weight and shit. So thanks a lot, man. Always
much
a good
respect.
Time. Always a good time, man. I miss you. I hope we can see each other soon.
I miss
soon.
You too, brother. I miss you.
Yeah, so, man, thanks a lot, my man.
Okay, let me know when this is up and I will get it on the social media platforms. And thank you for everything. And I look forward to seeing you again soon, brother.
For sure. It's out Saturday. At noon. Bye. Thank you, man.
Bye.
Salut tout le monde, on continue cette semaine avec un autre combattant qui sera en action lors de la première carte du FLA Fight League Atlantic et we are talking to Sean Wallace. What's up, man?
Not too much, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was just checking in. First, I'm happy to have you on the podcast, finally. I know we spoke sometimes and I always wanted to talk to you more and... Now you're on the podcast, so I'm pretty happy you're there, first of all, and we'll get the chance to speak about your main event fight that's coming up real soon, February 8th. I just wanted to know, how's everything going, like, regarding the preparation and stuff?
It's going good. I'm just getting over a cold, so that's better to have it now than the week of the fight, I guess. But other than that, I feel sharp. I feel good. I'm just ready to fight.
Of course, and it's a big spot. It's gonna be the main event, new league first ever event. You guys are gonna be like looking to put that promotion on the map. So, how do you feel to get that opportunity and close from home too?
It's cool to have the opportunity to fight in the main event of their first show. Like that's kind of why I wanted to be on the card. It's just it's a cool opportunity, and they're trying to go real big with this event. So it's an honor that they chose me to be part of that first show.
Of course. Where are you from exactly? I know you're from the East, but where are you from?
I'm from New Brunswick, a little place called Pointe-aux-Chênes, but currently I live in Prince Edward Island.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's got to be close from home. Either way, Nova Scotia, so... about that fight, you're fighting Ryan Rolovich, is still good?
Yep.
Yeah, so what do you think about that fight? I feel like it's probably a good matchup for you, but what's your take on that that contest?
Well, like, some people might criticize it because he doesn't have the best record and that kind of stuff, and he wasn't, like, the first choice kind of thing. We went through a lot of names of people that would turn it down or just wouldn't sign the contract. It just, it was endless. It was a lot of people that went through it. So Ryan was someone that I've seen in rankings before, and it was just the right place at the right time. And I think it's a good fight for me. I don't know how he's going to feel coming off of a 2-year layoff and coming off of a loss himself. Maybe he's hungry to get back in there, but maybe he's going to take a beating. I don't know.
That maybe he's gonna take a beating. That's a good way to look at it. Where was I going with that? 2-year layoff for him. Have you had trouble finding opponents? Because like I was looking at your record, you've been fighting since 2011. That's not a while, but you're quite experienced. But still, you only have 10 pro fights. Have you ever had trouble finding opponents like in your career?
I've had trouble finding opponents on the East Coast because there's only so many of us over here. And then you build good relationships with people and then you don't end up fighting them because you train with them every once in a while. And sometimes the promotions don't like to fly people in for you because it's for whatever the reason is. So I'll get opportunities to go and fight, like maybe being brought in somewheres. But they're never good circumstances for me, or I'm not prepared, I don't get the luxury of being a full time fighter. I still have a full time job that I have to juggle my life and training and all that stuff. So sometimes I have had to turn down good opportunities or big fights just because I couldn't make it work out for me. So I don't want to say that I've had like the hardest time finding fights. Like people aren't, I don't think people are necessarily scared to fight me, kind of thing. But it's just I got to kind of treat this my fight career as a business, and you got to make right business decisions. Right? You're not looking for easy fights, but you're looking for winnable fights.
Of course, and if you're still working, I guess that you can't really like go and like leave for. I know you're probably off the week of your fight, but. It may be more complicated to go out west, maybe fighting in Vancouver and stuff like that. I guess you may want to prefer like stay close to home. Because if I look at your record, you fought in Ontario, which is not, it's kind of far, but not too far. It's not across Canada. So I guess you prefer staying out west like to fight, right?
Well, like, for example, after my last fight, I was contacted, like I fought last April, and I was contacted to fight at the end of July in Pittsburgh. They wanted me to fight Kama Worthy that just got signed to the UFC. And but the pay was really bad, and the travel was like, I was only flying to Pittsburgh, but it was going to be like 14 or 16 hours of travel. And I was like, man, it's not good. It's like the middle of the summer. The training camp's going to be hard. The travel sucks. The pay's not good. It's a tough fight. I was like, no, I'm not. I just had to turn it down, right? It didn't work out, right? So, like, I've had those kinds of opportunities, but I've never been – they're not bringing me in to win, you know what I mean? They're trying to – they're kind of stacking the deck against me too, right? So.
Of course. And what do you work as?
I'm an industrial mechanic, so I work on a lot of machinery. Stuff like that. So I got a good like job that kind of accommodates my training, like a Monday to Friday job, so I can train in the evenings and stuff. But I'm not able, like I have bills, I have a house, I have a car payment. I can't just pack up and say I'm gonna go to TriStar for a few months. Or I always thought it'd be fun to go to Thailand and train, do a camp out there, just do a nice couple months of training there, but I can't just run away from my life. Like I have responsibilities here, so it's good and bad, right?
Yeah, no, of course, but man, I feel you to be honest, because I often talk to guys that they're like all in on fighting, even if they're really early in their pro careers, and man, these people struggle, man. They struggle real hard. They're paid like basically nothing. It almost like costs them money every time to fight. And like they end up finding some jobs, but like maybe like a security guard in a fucking bar where he gets to to break up fights every weekend, and like it's a tough life to be dedicated to fighting. And man, even like guys like Marc-André Barrio, they're in the UFC and like they're making decent pay compared to many people, but still when you look at like his yearly revenues, it's not that much. So I kind of feel you when you get the chance to have like a good job and like fighting's cool, you can train, you can do your fights and everything's cool, but still you have a life like you've been saying, and you can just let all of that go when it probably lets you live like really decently and probably better than most of these guys, unfortunately, like, for them.
There was a time when I first started out, I had like there was times I had to turn down fights like early in my career because I was going for schooling. Like I was doing like a block release training, and now you're gone for 2 months and I can't train for a fight at the same time because I was away from home, away from my team. So it wasn't really ideal. So take that time away and come back, and the fight cards aren't that often on the East Coast. So I missed opportunities there as well. So, but finally, when I got that out of the way and I finished my apprenticeship, then I was able to be more committed to my fight career. And like, I always kind of kept the idea of, it's now or never, because I can't decide, oh, I'm going to go work out west and make a bunch of money or something along those lines and then pick up fighting later. I need to do it now, because when you get too old, you can't be a fighter when you're old, right? You do it when you're younger. So that's what I've been dedicating the last few years to. And I've gotten a lot better, and I've been getting a lot more opportunities, which is good. And like being on this show, it's good. You know what I mean? More people are going to see me, and maybe they'll want to punch my face. I don't know.
Yeah, of course, man, of course. And I was wondering, with a new league like Fight League Atlantic, like that's good news for you, right? Because they're coming in, and I've been speaking to people that are like organizing the event and stuff, and like they seem like real good people with good intentions, and they're going to be putting in on shows in your region. So that's more opportunity for you, right?
Yeah, it's good because previously there was only really one show in town, so it's nice to have competition. So they, not to necessarily hurt each other, but to bring up the, for one, to have more fighters, more shows will be more fighters. And two, it can maybe boost the product. The product will be better, and maybe it'll force them to bring in talent. You can't just have, like, there's only so many locals, right? You need to eventually, like, if I'm going to keep fighting for some of these shows, they need to, I'm going to have to bring in somebody, right? So, like, I was very fortunate that these guys were willing to bring in somebody, like, from Ryan's from Saskatchewan, so fly someone in from there, because it's not always the case, right? So they kind of understood that and knew that it needed to fight someone, so it's good.
Yeah, and even in the case of the co-main event, you've got Jesse Arnett, who's is fighting a local guy too. So that shows their willingness to just, and I know it's in Canada, and I know flights in Canada is like crazy how much money it costs. Yeah. Like from Montreal, I can basically go to Cuba, and it's gonna cost me less money than to go to Edmonton, which is absolutely insane. But still, like it shows their willingness to bring in guys, and I feel like in Canada, it's cool because some promotions, they fly in guys from outside, and it's always nice to have like a local guy defeat like an international fighter. But I feel like when I've been to the TKO events or many events I've been to, the fights that people want to see the most are Canadian versus Canadian, the local guys, and maybe the guy like that's from the east against the guy that's from the west, or the guy from Quebec against the guy from Ontario. So I feel like flying in people, but from Canada, just raises the profile of the whole event. Cause like people, if you've been following MMA in Canada for a while, like, you know who Sean Wallace is, you know who Jesse Arnett is, and you want to see these guys fight, and you want to see these guys fight against other guys that you know. And that's what they're doing with this event, and that's why I've been talking to Jesse Arnett yesterday. Even though it's like one of the busiest MMA nights of the year, probably I'm gonna be following. I'm gonna find a way to have like three iPads running three different shows at the same time, because I can't miss this. It's been built great, and I feel like it's gonna be a great event, and I want to see that. So that's a
well,
win.
I'm excited for the fact like they're gonna have Jimmy Smith. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
That's cool. He's gonna be commentating the fights. Like, that's fucking cool.
No, of course, man. And the other thing that may be good for you guys is our current situation right here in Quebec. Man, it's not been going well at all. And every guy in Quebec is looking for a fight. And like they're saying, they're signing up for fights in the U.S. or Western Canada. But man, we're like the closest to you, basically, like the New Brunswick and Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island. It's very close to Quebec. So maybe
it's funny that you're talking about that, because there was a point in time that I was really thinking about trying to reach out and maybe try to fight for TKO. And the thing that the reason I didn't, I was worried about the exclusive contract, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And like, I don't have a manager. I just manage myself currently. And so I just kind of sat back and thought about it. And then they started getting in all this trouble, and I was like, oh no, because when they came back, they were doing so well. Their shows were big. They had fighters from all over the world. It was like, wow, this is fantastic. And then boom, shows, they just dried up. And I see the stuff that they're posting now, and they're trying to get everything back on, and everybody's talking shit about each other. And so I was like, I just want to fight. I want promotions to work. They just fucking sort it out, guys, please, because I want to fight. I want to fight. I want people to see me fight. I just want this to work out.
Yeah, but TKO, the exclusive contracts, like, I know people don't like it, but let's go back like a year and a half or 2 years ago. TKO, they were putting on like 4, 5, 6 shows a year. So even if you got an exclusive contract with them, 4 fights, you're probably going to fight those 4 fights within a year and a half, if everything goes well and you do not get injured. And like, we know how things can happen, but now that it like started, the shit started hitting the fan, it's sure that like people are kind of stuck in their contracts, but it's always been like this in Quebec and probably elsewhere too. People are just talking shit about each other like in the MMA sphere and just wishing like bad on the other. But man, we were supposed to have 2 promotions, and like both are not doing shows right now, so
yeah.
I guess it's not cool for us, but that may be an opportunity to guys to go fight east or west or anywhere. I know there are like 3 Quebecers on the BFL card in Vancouver, so man, maybe we'll just
do
it.
Because I follow like a lot of the MMA, and then I follow it really closely, because I handle like the Tapology stuff for the East Coast. I used to do all of Canada, but now I do like Ontario to the East Coast. So it's like, when there's a lot of shows happening in Quebec, it's great. Like, I'm like, all right, cool. There's all kinds of shows. And then I keep an eye on what's going on with everybody. But now it's like, it's dried up. There's so few shows. It's fucking crazy.
Nah, it's not good, man. I really hope TKO, like, they're trying their comeback now. And I just hope it works. But I think, like, it's just tough to make money with that shit in Quebec. Probably in Canada, but especially in Quebec. And like, they really wanted to do it big, and they rented like Bell Center and places like that, which, like, man, it's a 21,000 seat arena, okay? So it's probably super expensive to rent that place out. And with the biggest event they can put on, I think they brought maybe 2,500 people, so it's tough to get even. But if they restart and like go on smaller venues and stuff, I think it can work, because there are lots of venues in Quebec or in Montreal that can like host these shows without costing too much money. And that, like, it's better to have a 2,000 seat place with 2,000 people in the seat than to have like half the Bell Center with 3,000 people in the seat, but there are like 10,000 places. So
do you remember some of the UFCs at the smaller venues in Vegas, like the Ultimate Fighter finale shows? You know what I mean? Like, they would give the attendance, and sometimes it'd be 2,500 people, 1,800 people. Like, it wasn't a lot, but it's like it really made it, like, you know what I mean? It was loud. Like, a small room with a lot of people in it, right? It's, yeah, you can do that, but regional MMA, it's so hard to get. Like, Canada is only 30 million people, and it's spread out quite a bit, especially like the East Coast, and like, I know Quebec has quite a few people, but regional MMA, like, to get everybody interested in that, it's tough. So if you're like 2,500 people, 3,000 people, like that, you should consider that a win. Use that as your ceiling, like, fill your arena to that. Don't rent out the Bell Center. You know what I mean? That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, well, I think he had high hopes because he almost put in, like, back in the days with TKO, they almost had 10,000 people at one event, but it was Steve Bussey, who was super fucking famous because he was a hockey goon and like, it's fucking, yeah, Canada, so hockey goons, yeah, are probably people we know the most, like, regionally, and he was fighting heavyweight, and, like, it was a huge event, so, he was open, like, with Charles Jourdain and guys like that, that he could, like, sell that much tickets, but, man, forget it, like, not gonna happen, yeah, not, like, in this day and age, things have changed a lot, man, and shit. It's just like that, but like, I really hope things can get back on, because fuck, I need to go to some events, man. It's boring. I'm always, yeah, like, listening everything from a stream, and I just want to be there and fucking live it. I'm thinking like that I'll maybe go into Toronto for the PFC event, because probably the closest event from home in the first like quarter of the year. So shit, man, yeah, I just might go because I need to see me some MMA live, man. So, man, I'll probably just let you go on that. That was a good talk, man. And I'll be looking forward to your fight. And maybe we'll just get the chance to celebrate after if you get a W.
Yeah, man, that'd be great. Anytime.
Yes, so we'll keep in touch. Thank you, my man. That was great.
Cool. Anytime, dude. Thank you.
Bye.